The last time Revangelical founder Brandon Robertson was with us on the show, he was just back from leading a delegation of evangelical faith leaders and activists to a Southern Baptist Convention gathering in Nashville, Tennessee. Relentlessly committed to combating the religious right's destructive, often politically motivated exclusion of LGBT Christians. Brandon's kept busy in the intervening months and faced the kinds of challenges that are inevitable when one speaks out honestly and sincerely. Among other things, he's been hard at work on a new book titled Nomad, Not-So-Religious Thoughts on Faith, Doubt, and the Journey in Between. And so I'm delighted to have Brandon Robertson back with us again on State of Belief Radio. Brandon, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be with you.
You're a prolific columnist and commentator, so it's only fitting that you decided to share your words in book form as well. So talk to us about the genesis for Nomad.
Yeah, absolutely. Nomad has been kind of a project that's been burning in my soul for a few years now. And it's basically just a spiritual memoir of sorts that helps explain the millennial journey of faith, why so many of us have become known as spiritual but not religious, or the nuns. And it just kind of helps the reader get into the mind of a millennial and understand some of the challenges that we face. Many of my generation who kind of grew up in conservative evangelicalism and are moving towards a more open and inclusive version of Christianity. I wanted to help both conservative people understand why this is happening and understand that it's not a departure from faith or truth, but rather a commitment to the gospel and a commitment to being like Jesus that's driving this. But also wanted to give voice to my generation, and just have a book that we can relate to and look to and say, you know, that describes my journey of faith.
It's a great idea, and it's something that can help a whole lot of people. I just need to be candid with you. I am frankly outraged at the recent turn of events regarding publication of this book. And so I really would like for you to share as much as you can of what has happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So I signed a book deal last March with a publisher called Destiny Image Publishers, who's kind of a Pentecostal publisher that does Bishop T.D. Jakes and other names like that. And they signed me because they were wanting to start a new progressive brand. The company itself kind of has recognized this spirit-led movement in the church towards a more inclusive Christianity. And they signed me along with my friend Ben Corey, who blogs at a blog called Formerly Fundy. And we were going to be the first two new books in this new imprint, Destiny Image. And so I've been writing this book in contract with them for about a year, just finished it up in February. And when I went to turn in my manuscript, I got an email a few hours later telling me that there were some major concerns being raised by Christian book buyers, so the bookstores that buy from Destiny Image, about my views on LGBT equality and my own personal sexuality, among other things, and that it could likely end up costing my book deal. The publisher might have to drop the book. And so about a day later, I got an email notification saying, indeed, the book had to be dropped from the publisher because I couldn't sign the publisher's statement on homosexuality, and therefore the evangelical book buying world had blacklisted my name and my book because of its inherent stance against biblical sexuality, which is funny because the book itself doesn't mention sexuality once. And so within a matter of about 4 days after working for a year on the manuscript, Destiny Image was forced to release my book, and I lost the publishing deal and ended up erupting in this media story that has actually turned for the best, and I've actually entered into conversations with some more publishers who are open to a more progressive stance on some of these issues. But what happened with my book is really symptomatic of a larger state of things in evangelical Christianity.
Well, I want you to talk about that because, I mean, obviously there is a kind of litmus test going on among some, not all, some Christian publishers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes beyond Christian publishing. It goes into church planting networks and seminaries. I was just graduated from Moody Bible Institute in May of last year. And while I was there, I had a number of sit-down meetings with the dean and other people who, because of my view on sexuality and my changing view to become more inclusive, I was seen as an outsider, as not an evangelical, and even not a Christian, that this view on sexuality for many conservative evangelicals has, in a sense, replaced the gospel, mm-hmm. and it has become a gospel issue, as they put it. And so if you disagree on what the Bible teaches or what the church should do in regards to same-sex marriage and same-sex relationships, you are seen as somebody who is opposed to the very gospel of Jesus, which really points to the fact that evangelicalism has misplaced the gospel. Mm-hmm. We've really forgotten what the message Jesus came to preach was. And that's part of what I've become committed to through my blog, Re-Evangelical, and my other work, is working to reform from the inside out and help evangelicals rediscover that good news that has been replaced with the message of Fox News.
Hmm. I mean, I was candid with you a moment ago. I mean, I was outraged when I heard this. I would agree with those who said that it's a gospel issue because it's a clear denunciation of the openness and inclusion that we find in the gospel. But
sure.
What was your personal reaction to this kind of disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, so when I immediately got the email after turning in my manuscript, I literally got this gut-wrenching pain. Because this kind of rejection over these issues is something that, as somebody who's grown up in this evangelical system and just graduated from an evangelical institution, I've gotten really accustomed to this marginalization and rejection. And so when I first got the news, there was, you know, that devastation that mm-hmm. after working on a book endlessly for a year, the fact that I was being told it wasn't going to be published. But then also, my heart broke again for evangelical Christianity, mm-hmm. that we have, like you said, misplaced the gospel and decided that it's in our best interest to exclude people that we disagree with and that see the world differently than we do, instead of to embrace them in the radical love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that turned into just a renewed passion, really, to digging back in and saying, you know what? These are my people, and though they are trying to marginalize and exclude me because of my views and my sexuality, you know, Christ calls us to love those who persecute us and to work for change from the inside out. That's what he did in his religious system. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more passionate than ever to stick around in evangelical Christianity and try to really help hold up the light of the gospel to my fellow people of good news.
Yeah. Brandon, I know your colleague, Matthew Vine's publisher, faced expulsion from a National Trade Association after the release of Matthew's book, God and the Gay Christian. It hurts, it angers, and it makes me ask, how long can this level of dogmatism go on? Ultimately, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where among some publishers, the only thing that can be legitimately published is the Bible itself over and over again, and then it's going to have to be their translation.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is good news in the midst of all of this, though. For instance, I mean, the recent polls show that 43% of millennial evangelicals, that's not millennial Christians, that's specifically evangelical Christians, mm-hmm. now support same-sex marriage. And right now, I'm actually at a meeting down in Florida, meeting with a convening of evangelical leaders who are moving forward on the issue of sexuality and a ton of other issues, and trying to start a new movement that reclaims evangelical identity. And so things are really beginning to change, and God's Spirit is really stirring a reformation among evangelical Christians. And I'm hopeful for the future of the movement.
Well, that's great to hear, because it's not everyone that can go through what you have been through and come out feeling inspired and rededicated because of that, and then to have the empathy and hope that you have regarding the future. Are there concrete plans in the works for getting Nomad out to readers?
Yes. So with the media kind of firestorm that erupted around the publisher dropping my book, a number of literary agents and publishing agencies have reached out, and I'm now in conversations with a number of them. And so it does look like Nomad will be published later this year, God willing, and I'm just really excited to get the book out there and, to kind of show a new generation of evangelical faith in the publishing world. So,
Brandon Robertson is a young evangelical Christian activist, the founder of the Revangelical Movement. He is much in demand as a writer, a speaker, an organizer. We'll keep you posted on the progress with getting his new book, Nomad, Not So Religious Thoughts on Faith, Doubt, and the Journey in Between, into readers' hands. Brandon, in fact, let me encourage you when this is out to let us know that it's out. And you really, on our show, you never fail to inspire and to show us how to take a difficult situation and handle it in a very positive way. And so we want to be supportive of you and keep in touch with us so that we can sit down again in the near future on State of Belief Radio and talk about your new book.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so inspired and encouraged by your constant support and the support of all your listeners. So I'll look forward to being with you again.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. The ongoing financial support of State of Belief listeners is essential to keeping this show on the air. I want to thank you if you've made a financial donation this week. If you find value in what we're doing, I urge you to join our other generous supporters today. Please visit stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stateofbelief.com is also where you can sign up for our free weekly podcast. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/stateofbelief. And we hope you share the stories that you find compelling on this show with your friends. We'd love to have them join us. I hope you'll encourage them to do that. We're also at twitter.com/stateofbelief. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this show that don't get talked about a lot of other places, and we try to do it in a way that is civil and educational and inspiring, not just taking pot shots at others because they're not the same as we are. If you find value in that approach and you hear it and like it, please spread the word about this show. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.